Arthur Murray, thank you, Corin. In the business news this morning, higher inflation means lower interest rates, tech tax rebates. The devil's in the detail, as always, and I'll bring you the latest from the money markets. Inflation's likely to have picked up a notch in the past 3 months, but even so, it will not be near the Reserve Bank's target and is unlikely to get in the way of further interest rate cuts. The market consensus is for a rise of 0.6% for the June quarter, driven by a rise in petrol prices and household costs such as rates and rents. That would take the annual inflation rate to 1.7% from 1.5% in the previous quarter. But it's still short of the RBNZ's 2% target. Well, a lot of the signs are that inflation will turn soft again because of slower growth at home and abroad. Westpac senior economist Michael Gordon says soft inflation means lower interest rates, with the RBNZ likely to want to throw in more for some stimulus.
They're looking for much the same number as us, and the way that they've put the issue for a while is that we've got inflation up a bit, but to keep it sustain it around about their 2% goal, we're probably going to need faster growth in the economy and a bit more, perhaps a bit more overheating, as you can think of it that way. That pickup in growth hasn't been forthcoming, so it suggests that lower interest rates are needed to try and achieve that. So we think they've actually said that, indicated that it's quite likely they'll be looking at another cut at their next review in August, and that would take the cash rate down to a new all-time low of 1.25%.
And do you foresee further cuts before year's end?
I think they'll certainly leave the door open, or they'll leave themselves that option. Whether it's needed is not clear cut. One thing we're keeping an eye out for is what happens with the housing market now that we've had quite a big drop in mortgage rates in recent months. Also, the spectre of the capital gains tax has been taken off the table. And we saw with the Real Estate Institute numbers, there was quite a decent pickup in housing turnover in June. So that's the first response that we would have expected from this fresh stimulus. You tend to see sales pick up first, and then prices tend to follow about 3 months or so later. So we're not really seeing that boost come through in prices yet, but I think as you're getting towards year end, that'll start to shine through a bit more. And by that point, the Reserve Bank may be thinking that they've put enough in place to get the result that they want.
That's Westpac Bank senior economist Michael Gordon talking to Kim Savage. Well, moves to extend tax incentives for research and development are being welcomed by business organisations. It's also raised concerns about the complexity involved to get a rebate. Companies that are yet to make a profit will be able to write off some of their R&D against tax, but the details of getting the rebate are less than straightforward, according to one industry group. NZ Tech Chief Executive Graham Muller says the tax breaks are needed, but some complex issues need to be settled first.
It is definitely complex still. I have got in front of me about 15 pages of notes here, which were provided from the Minister's office to try and explain some of the questions that might be asked, and I even found them complex.
So how is a small startup supposed to figure it out?
Yeah, I think that's one of the challenges that the government will have in the next wee while is to introduce it in a way and actually enable it in a way that doesn't end up costing small business more in compliance than it does and actually the benefit they'll get from it.
How long do you think it's going to take before that's sorted out?
From what I understand, that a bill will be needed to adjust this, so there will be an opportunity to put more feedback in. So I think this is really, from what I understand, a really good sign of intent, but the government's still open for some feedback into the system before they enact this into law.
That's Graham Muller from NZ Tech talking to Nona Peltier. Coming up to 7:05, you're listening to Business on Morning Report. Well, King Salmon has lodged an application to farm in Cook Strait in the hope the cooler, deeper waters will help reduce the numbers of fish it loses each season. The Marlborough-based fish farm has applied to the local district council for resource consent to set up operations in what it says is a sheltered site ideal for farming. Warming sea temperatures have increased fish mortality at its current sites and hit profits, which are expected to be flat again this year. King Salmon Chief Executive Grant Rosewarn isn't putting numbers on potential benefits, but says if it gets the green light to shift, it could be a game changer for salmon farming in this country.
this could take us to the same scale as the Norwegian industry. They're going to replace their unsustainable oil and gas industry with salmon aquaculture and other forms of aquaculture. So it is the sort of industry that can support a first world nation really well, and the Norwegians have chosen for it. Other reason they've chosen for it, it gets a great environmental outcome. It's one of the most efficient and sustainable ways of producing animal protein. So we have the potential going offshore to be New Zealand's most valuable industry and its greenest primary sector.
And that obviously means pretty big things for King Salmon, I would have thought too.
It does. All of this is, we haven't done it yet and we haven't even got the resource consent. So I have to stress these things are all possible, but we need permission to be able to do it.
Given this is technology that you have to acquire, is this quite an expensive exercise for the company?
Yes, it will be. So yeah, that technology is quite a bit more expensive than what we would be accustomed to. But we are anticipating a really high survival out in the Cook Strait because we'll be in 100 metres of water instead of maybe 35. The temperature will be 2 degrees cooler at least, maybe even more. We've got excellent currents. That means high oxygen. So all those things, augur well for a great outcome, which will help mitigate the higher capital costs and the higher transportation costs.
That's Grant Rosewarne, the Chief Executive of New Zealand King Salmon, talking to Kim Savage. Catch up on the markets now, and sure enough, it was a record finish for all of Wall Street's main indices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 244 points, that was about 1%. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ also gaining around 0.5%. Our own top 50 index rose just marginally, up 14 points. That was a tenth of a percent, but it was a record. Starts the week at 10,701. For commodities, Brent crude oil gained 20 cents, $66.72 US a barrel, and gold up $12 at $1,415 US dollars an ounce. And in other business news this morning, in fact, we'll have a look at what's coming up on the week ahead. Today brings the latest survey, look at the services sector. That will follow, of course, last Friday's manufacturing index. We also get international migration tourism numbers for May. And as we've already discussed, tomorrow we'll have second quarter inflation numbers, 0.6% for the quarter, 1.7% for the year is the market consensus. Wednesday, we'll have another global dairy trade auction, and one wonders whether, in fact, we'll see prices perhaps pick up or whether they'll fall for the fifth consecutive time. Quiet on the corporate front, although we will get more details today on the Port of Napier's planned share float and stock exchange listing. And looking overseas, the US earnings season kicks off. Some of the big banks will set the tone for the year. And Australia has second quarter labour numbers that may just influence monetary policy over there.